This is the New England Patriots Roster Report Podcast on Patriots.com. The Roster Report Podcast is presented by Sullivan Tire and Bridgestone Tires. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Sullivan Tire Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Last day of May, but it's the second day of 90-degree temperatures here in the Foxborough area. It's hot here at Gillette Stadium, and it's been a pretty hot week for Patriots news. Eric Scalavino and Paul Perillo from Patriots Football Weekly here to
There might be some news.
A couple of cool guys is what I was going to say.
We just don't know.
Oh, you're still on that kick?
No, I promise I'm not. I'm just kidding.
Carry over from the PFW in Progress show for any of you I've been following those developments.
Fred and I had a great continuation of that off air yesterday.
I heard it as I was leaving yesterday,
awesome.
And I decided not to jump in.
Well, we both concluded with giggles and chuckles at each other.
and he said right. And then you went home.
And then we laughed.
But it's been a busy week again. OTAs continue. There's more Gronk news. More draft picks are signing, veterans being worked out. We've got it all kind of for you this week.
Yeah, running the gamut.
Yeah, just very quickly with the housekeeping stuff. The Patriots had signed four of their draft picks before this week. Two more of the seven are on board: wide receiver Josh Boyce and defensive lineman Michael Buchanan, both on board. The last one now is Aaron Dobson, the wide receiver, second round pick, but he has been taking part in these OTAs. I don't foresee any problems with
now,
his
he's
getting
been out
a deal.
There. He's been an active participant in the practices that we've had a chance to see. Mm-hmm. I agree with Eric. I don't think that's anything to be concerned with.
And quickly today, there's a report that they worked out a veteran defensive tackle.
ESPN Boston, our buddies Field Yates and Mike Reese, reporting that Spencer Johnson, a veteran defensive tackle, worked out with the team on Thursday. And he's 31 years old, the 9-year veteran, spent the last 5 years in Buffalo, the previous four to that, in Minnesota, 6'3", 304 pounds, 303 career tackles and 14 sacks in those 9 seasons. Field Yates opines that his best year was 2010, when he started 6 out of the 14 games that he played in and had 55 tackles and 2 sacks. So he's a guy that they've given a look to. Makes some sense based mm-hmm. on all the guys, Ron Brace, Kyle Love, Brandon Dederick, interior types, Myron Pryor, mm-hmm. good, that they have let go. It would make sense that maybe they're looking for another guy to sort of factor into the mix inside alongside Vince Wilfork, Tommy Kelly, maybe a guy like Armin Armstead mm-hmm. Could factor into that mix as well. So Spencer Johnson, veteran defensive lineman, they had in for a look-see. We'll see if there's any transaction forthcoming.
I think it makes sense, too, because they don't need him right now necessarily in OTAs because they have the 90 men on the roster. But I think come training camp, when they start actually getting to hit each other a little bit and injuries start to pile up, they're kind of thin, pardon the choice of words there, at that position, given where they have been in the past. And now that they've, you get one or two injuries where a guy is out for any extended period of time, Paul, and you don't really have anybody in the rotation there. You don't really have any bodies to put out there on the field. And now that they run predominantly run a 4-3, they need two guys at that position at any one time to be out on the field. So yeah. I think it makes sense to try to look for any available players at this point. And again, not necessarily for these spring practices, but maybe for, once camp opens at the end of July. So that's it for as far as just the transactional type stuff. But again, we had OTAs again this week. And we kind of recapped that during PFW in Progress yesterday. So if you download that podcast, you'll be able to hear fully our thoughts on that. But just very quickly, before we get to the Gronk update, anything that stood out for you at OTAs this week?
Not necessarily stood out. Obviously, when you're dealing with these kinds of workouts, the passing game is accentuated, and as such, it's usually a lot of completions being had. What one thing that did stand out to me was I thought the defense was active. The secondary, I thought,
the secondary in particular,
knocked down a lot of passes. There were more incomplete passes in this setting than I think are typical. We talked on PFW in Progress. Does that mean the offense was bad or the defense was good? I suppose that's, you know, Matt Patricia and Pepper Johnson and those guys probably think the defense was good. And, you know, Josh McDaniels and Chad O'Shea and Dante Scarnecchia probably think the offense wasn't so good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's in the eye of the beholder, but I thought it was a good sign to see Alphonso Dennard, Aqib Talib, Kyle Arrington, Rasai Dowling.
Yes.
You know, these guys were active and getting their hands on a lot of passes.
Not necessarily intercepting the ball, but knocking them down.
No, and there were times where, you know, it was a run on deflections. I mean, it was like 3, 4, 5 plays in a row. And they weren't all, we talked a little bit about Ryan Mallett. It wasn't all with Mallett playing quarterback either. There was some times where the offense wasn't clicking when Tom was there too. So still probably some feeling out process going on with the receivers and Tom.
Oh, it's going to take a while.
With Amendola and Dobson. We had an interesting note that Andy came up with. I believe the top 7 pass catches from a year ago are right now not available. Either they're not with the team anymore in Welker's case, or they're just not healthy enough to be out there in Gronkowski and Hernandez's case. Right now, the target with the most amount of receptions from Tom Brady on the Patriots roster is Stephen Ridley.
Yeah, with 9.
With 9.
And so, Shane Vereen right behind him with 8.
With 8. So that's telling. You know, there's not a lot of guys there that have developed any sort of comfort level with Brady. Mm-hmm. I did find it interesting, just to throw another thing out there, you asked me what stood out. The amount of work that Tom is doing with running backs in the passing game, and not just, you know, swings and screens and things of that nature, but
having them lined up wide
in what would be, I think, you know, a 5 receiver look, having them lined up wide, probably looking to isolate them on a linebacker in space and running some double moves. We saw Shane Vereen do that against Houston in the playoffs with a terrific touchdown catch and a play that they talked about having just put in the playbook, really, just started working on that week in practice and having really no success with it in practice.
Yeah.
And then it worked for a touchdown in the game. Saw them working a lot on those kinds of timing routes, double moves. Leon Washington was effective in those.
He looks good so far.
Ridley and Vereen were also split out wide. So maybe something, you know, we're all wondering, where are the catches going to come from? Who's going to, you know, is it going to be Aaron Dobson? Is it going to be Josh Boyce? Is it going to be somebody we don't know about? You know, somebody
Donald
like
T.J.
Moe or Donald Jones.
Yeah.
Michael Jenkins has been outside most often with Amendola in those sets.
Right.
Maybe they're going to incorporate the running backs a little bit more into the passing game this year than we've seen in the last couple of years.
Okay, and now to the biggest news, I think, of the week, the reports that have been confirmed by several other media that Rob Gronkowski will need back surgery and will have it sometime in the upcoming month of June.
Right.
Middle to later, the reports are scattered as to when exactly he's going to have it. But the reports seem to be in lockstep that they had to wait until Gronkowski's forearm infection had cleared up before they could schedule.
I think they wanted to do multiple surgeries when they had fear of infection.
Exactly.
Now I think they're pretty comfortable that the infection is cleared.
Which is good news.
They're giving it a little time.
Yep.
And then they're going to do the back surgery. And supposedly, according to the reports, the recovery periods are pretty similar.
About 12 weeks.
The arm and in the back, 10, 12 weeks. So it's going to get right up to the start of the season. I wouldn't expect to see him much, if at all, during training camp.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, we'll see what happens with the regular season.
And Gronk's agent has been very vocal in saying that this is a quote-unquote minor procedure. And as we discussed
minor
on the show,
him.
Yeah, minor to him because he's not having it. And I know we've had various people and media types and fans included who have tried to explain the difference between a minor and a major surgery. And I'm sure that they're right as far as the delineation between the types of procedures. And the thing is that we don't know, Paul, is exactly what kind of surgery Gronk is having. There are reports out there saying that he's going to have a disc either removed or shaved down or removed, shaved, and replaced. So what we do, I think, know with some degree of certainty is that it's a disc-related problem in his back. And he's going to have that operated on. And I think you're right. We're not going to see him during training camp, and I would be even more surprised if he doesn't start the year on PUP.
I'm sort of leaning toward not necessarily PUP, but I'm sort of in my mind eliminating the first couple of games as possibilities. I don't know if he'll need to be out for six full games. And I'll say this, if the Patriots don't believe that he needs to be out for six full games, then I wouldn't put him on PUP either.
He's on the roster, but he's inactive for a few games.
Yeah. To me, he's a valuable enough guy. Even if they said, you know what, maybe five games, but not six, I would do it. Yeah. I think he's valuable enough to do it. Now, you know, a guy like Myron Pryor in the past or Brandon Dederick, he might be ready by week three, but Brandon Dederick. Right. I can wait 6 weeks and figure it out from there. I need the roster spot. It's more important. Rob Gronkowski, to me, he's a valuable enough guy that I want him available as soon as he can be available. Yep. Now, they definitely, and we talked about it a lot at PFW in Progress, and you and I are in one camp and Andy and Fred are in another. They definitely have to make sure that he's ready to go and he's healthy. They have more confidence in that ability to make that judgment than you and I do.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about that.
Very much concerned.
But in any regard, I think we can all agree when he's ready, he needs to be active. And if that's before, the six games, then I don't want him on PUP.
Yeah. And one thing we should point out, a lot of people have been placing high expectations on Gronk's potential replacement, Jake Ballard. What we've seen of him so far in OTAs, he is still recovering from that knee injury that he suffered in the Super Bowl against the Patriots.
I had a chance to talk to him with a bunch of other guys on Wednesday, and he said as much. He said, listen, I'm not full go. It's not like I'm full go yet.
And it's
practice.
Obvious.
And
it's
he
obvious.
Said that it's not like they're throwing me to the wolves. I mean, they're allowing me to do things, and there's other things that I can't do. And he talked about, I think he hears the people talking about the Gronkowski comparisons. He's that Gronkowski replacement.
Yep.
And I even think he didn't like back away from it, but I kind of think he wants to pump the brakes on a little bit. And he did say, listen, I'm obviously not as fast as Rob, and he's not that kind of an athlete. He blocks and he can catch. I think that's where the similarities end.
Yeah, they have the same maybe height and weight.
I don't think he blocks as well, and I don't think he catches as well, and I know he doesn't run as well.
And just to look at him, he's not the. They have the same. Measurables as far as height and weight, roughly.
Yeah,
but you look at them
guy.
And they're not the same build. They're not the same physical specimen.
I agree.
And I think it's only fair to him to point that out, that these expectations for him are a little far-fetched in some cases, and especially since he's not ready to go. He's not completely ready to go to do
I'm not concerned about him, per se. I think that he is... he's dealing with whatever he has to deal with, and I don't know what kind of pain he's in. He's certainly not indicating that he's in any pain. I think he's just coming back and
discomfort maybe.
Yeah, he's definitely running with a limp.
Yeah, that's clear.
It's more than a lot of times. It's hard to tell with athletes because a lot of athletes have sort of a little hitch in their step.
Exactly.
And we used to get fooled a lot of times by people in the locker room. Teddy Bruschi was one. He had a distinct limp. All the time. So you look and say, well, geez, he's got an ankle injury and he's really limping badly. I don't know if he's going to be able to play. And then, you'd kind of see, well, that was just the way Teddy walked. So this is more than that. This is a discernible limp that he's dealing with. But, he's obviously well enough to be taking part in practices that really aren't all, quote unquote, that important at this time of year. Mm-hmm. So if the team... thinks that he's well enough to do what he's been doing, and I'm not overly concerned about his knee.
But, boy, I tell you, Paul, it sure is feeling like training camp out there.
It is. It won't be any hotter in training camp than it is right now and it's supposed to be for the weekend.
It's it's getting very, very close to that time where these practices are going to start being meaningful. But until that time, we're going to be here every Friday giving you the latest on the transactions that are taking place and any sort of activity that the team's involved in. Enjoy your weekend, folks. We'll see you here next Friday for another Patriots Roster Report podcast.
This has been the Sullivan Tire Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Bridgestone Tires, Available at over 60 Sullivan Tire locations across New England. Visit SullivanTire.com/Bridgestone today.